All right, Earl, do you want to do like an intro?
Sure.
We're here with...
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Ready to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Welcome to the Sports Parent Podcast, where we talk about sports and parenting and the intersection between sports and parenting, hosted by best-selling author Jeff Perlman.
And Catherine Perlman, also known as the Family Coach.
All right.
Before we begin this show, it's sponsored by B2 Design. B2 Design, they take pride in planning, strategizing, and organizing your online content to make your message clear and concise. B2 Design works with clients of all sizes. The Family Coach, sitting right across from me, uses B2 Design to create her website and logo. You seem pretty happy.
I am.
And my website was also designed by B2 Design. You seem pretty happy.
Sure.
For more information on building a beautiful new website or updating an old one, get in touch with Brant Beaupre at brant@btwodesign.net.
So what's up this week, girl?
Well, we got an interesting one going on. So you and I are the parents of a little boy who's playing Little League Baseball this season.
Mm-hmm.
We like to talk about this every now and then. And recently we've been having a little bit of a debate. When is it okay to sort of intervene with your kid's youth coach? Because we have a kid. I think the coach is a pretty good coach. I do. I think it's a little odd. I've never seen this before. He coaches our kid's team, another kid's team, another kid's team in travel ball. And he also is the fall commissioner of the league that we're playing in now, which I find a little, I mean, to me, it's hard enough coaching one team ever.
He's dedicated.
He is dedicated. And, I think we've both been a little annoyed because our kid is 9 years old. He's a solid athlete, solid, average, take 10 kids, he'll be fifth or sixth. The coach always plays in the exact same positions, bats him late every single game. If the kid wanted to play third, it would never happen. First would never happen. He's going, I can tell you, left field, right field, second base, bench, and back in the outfield. And that's pretty much it. And it annoys you. Am I wrong?
No, it really does annoy me.
Tell me why.
Okay. This isn't like 13-year-olds or high school or college. These are 9-year-olds, and they're still developing their skills. And I think it's wrong to have the same two or three kids always sit on the bench the first inning, always play the outfield. It just, to me, A, you're not developing other kids and other talents, and B, you're just sending a message that, like, you guys are really not that important. And it's not like he puts them in the outfield, but he's developing them to play in the outfield as they come up. He doesn't throw pop-up balls. He doesn't talk to our son about strategy for being a second baseman. You know, like, he just doesn't go in any of that. So, to me,
we don't know that at the practice.
No, he doesn't.
How do you know?
Because our son said that they pull out only the kids who...
I think it's a little bit of a stretch. I think the main issue is it seems like winning is the most important thing here, right? And I get why coaches want to win to a certain degree, but I just feel like the emphasis on winning, 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 and we're going to do this and we're going to win. And I mean, as I mentioned in a past podcast, you know, his wife literally said to me, winning is really important to him. And to me, yeah, winning is good, but at that age, I want development. I want self-confidence. I don't care whether his team wins, and I don't think he cares whether his team wins.
I just think of all the things we've been talking about in all the episodes, you just push the kids out. You know what I'm saying? Like, our son knows he's done in a year. Because why does he keep wanting to play when he feels like he's the worst one? He's batting 12th. He sits on the bench first. He's not an idiot. He totally gets it.
But I don't think that's why he's losing interest in baseball. I think baseball bores him. I actually think he doesn't like the practices. He finds the game boring. And what shocks me, always shocks me, and this is coming from a former baseball writer, is that more kids aren't bored by baseball. The number of kids who love baseball is staggering to me because we've been going every week, two-hour games. It is so boring. And you're sitting there and standing there and standing there and sitting there. It is so remarkably dull that I actually think his number one reason he doesn't want to play baseball is because he's bored out of his mind, which I actually kind of get.
Well, I mean, he's not a super competitive guy, and he's not incredibly invested in any one particular sport. But I just think the way the system is set up, that even if you're an average athlete who has a moderate interest in the sport, by 11, you're done.
I just want to say one more thing about this. And this may turn off some people we know, but I think parents are crazy. I really do. I think parents are crazy, and I think they ruin this. And I actually think the whole travel ball thing is killing rec league sports. It used to be fun. All your friends would play. You play in your town, Mayo Pack Sports Association, Little League Baseball, and you'd have maybe one practice, maybe two a week, and you'd have your game on Friday or Saturday, and that was it. And all your friends would play, and it'd be you against the other team, and it'd be great, and afterwards you go out for ice cream. And now you see the kids, and they've got two bats instead of one, and their special $100 bat bag, and they're wearing the special equipment, and they're playing in the travel league. You know, they got to miss practices for the town league, but they're still signed up because they got to play in the travel league team. And then, oh, they may miss that because they have a, and then they have a hitting coach. And it drives me crazy. What are you trying to do? What is the goal here? Your kid is not going to be Rod Carew or Mike Trout.
It's almost certainly not. But the bottom line is most of the kids who are doing that, they really enjoy it. And you know what? I don't agree with the $100, you know, batting helmet, but the kids feel good in it. I'm not buying my kid one, but if you have the money and you want to buy your kid one, I don't really have a problem with it. I just want kids to be able to continue playing past 10, 11 years old.
They can't anymore.
That's my point.
Well, that sucks.
Well, I think sticking a kid in the outfield over and over and over again and benching him always first and batting him 12th will just kind of kick the fun out of it.
I just say you look utterly ridiculous right now. You're wearing your oversized, which you bought me, made with recycled Coke cans shirt. You're wearing popcorn pants.
Well, I mean, I think the beauty of podcasting is you can do it in your pajamas, in your closet.
I look awesome.
And I'd like to say, yeah, I don't even want to say about your outfit.
What do you got to talk about, Catherine?
Okay. Well, I caught a video online this week from Gavin McCall. He created a mini ninja warrior course in his backyard for his daughter. Have you ever seen American Ninja Warrior?
I have.
It's amazing. I mean, it's truly amazing watching these men and women compete on these crazy obstacles. Well, this guy made one for his daughter in his backyard that is also crazy, has so many elements. The kid is about 5 or 6. She's this adorable little girl, and he sets her up with like cheering and music and like a whole course. She does the course. There's a zip line with stuffed animals and swings. She's climbing on a roof at some point. It's absolutely amazing. The guy has a GoFundMe page. On the GoFundMe page, it says, "This super active little girl would love more opportunity to play and train for future junior ninja warrior." And then he has an asterisk. And then at the bottom, he says, "Junior ninja warrior competitions are completely made up by Lila's dad." And the whole thing is just amazing on so many levels. And I just wanted to talk about it for a couple of reasons. One is, never once does the dad say, "Be careful." He doesn't, you know, see her climbing up the rope ladder onto the roof and say, "Oh, careful, careful, careful," which is completely my inclination.
Maybe he's blind.
He's not blind.
Okay.
I scrolled through his Facebook page. He's this adorable dad who loves his little girl and creates these fun challenges for her. And I think that by him building this amazing backyard ninja course and, you know, not making her be super careful on it or worrying about her, I think he's really showing her to build her confidence and that she should dream big. Like anything she wants to do, they could do.
She can't levitate.
Well, maybe she can.
That's a good point.
I mean, I didn't
think of it that way.
You know, I think all the amount of energy that was invested in boys when I was growing up, and to see, I know it's all changing and I know there should be equal opportunities for girls in sports, and it's certainly getting there. But to see this dad build this course in his backyard and this 5-year-old do this course amazingly, and you know, what it says to this girl, you know, what he's teaching her is amazing to me.
You know, can I give a plug to us for a minute?
Okay.
So our son, we're talking about him a lot this, he has his birthday party this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, through the years, you and I have attended many gymboree birthday parties and birthday parties where they hire whatever and blah, blah, blah. You and I have thrown some kick-ass birthday parties. Do you agree with that?
I would say we have thrown some great birthday parties, but I will not say that I have any problem with the gymboree birthday parties. I think they're fun.
I'm saying for adults, they're rather boring, and I feel like we have thrown, just work with me here.
I disagree with you.
Wait,
I'm sorry.
Wait, whoa.
You make
some of the most amazing, this woman sitting here across from me, she's got flaws. She's short. Other flaws. I can't even think of them. You're so good.
Exactly.
But She makes the most amazing birthday cakes. Every year she makes these insanely, you have to put some up on the website, please. She makes some insanely detailed cakes. And then we do the parties. And we always have, like, a couple years ago, maybe the best, we had the Emmett Bowl. And we invited a ton of his friends. And we had four teams. And we made touch football teams. And we had this whole playoff system. And everyone got a nickname. And they got jerseys as they're going away prizes, you know. And we just really do try, like this guy, to keep them really creative and kind of funky. I give a lot of props to a guy named Aaron Waxler, who lived around the corner from us back in New Rochelle, who did the same thing. I just think there's something beautiful about being funky and creative and cool with your kids.
Yep, I agree.
You disagree. You didn't like that segment.
No, I do. I mean, I'm not knocking people who do birthday parties in a different way. And I actually, over the years, have enjoyed watching my kids at some of those Gymboree parties because we got to see them play with their friends and on equipment that we didn't normally see.
So. Remember the time Casey flipped over and landed on her head and we thought she was going to be paralyzed for life?
Yeah.
That was good.
That was a good moment. All right. What do you got in the news?
Okay. So yesterday, your listeners, a few days later, we watched the second presidential debate. And I'm not going to make this political. I was really debating throughout the day whether it'd be okay for our kids to watch this debate. With everything that's been talked about, with the, everyone knows now the tape, the Donald Trump tape. Then we knew that he was going to bring in Bill Clinton's history. And I really, really, really thought about this a lot. And it's kind of sad, first of all. I've never thought about that before, whether our kids should be watching a debate, whether you'd even think of that. And we ended up letting him watch it. Casey got bored out of her mind and left very quickly. And I think Emma was pretty bored, too. Do you think it's gone to a point where we really have to think about whether our kids can watch and be a part of the political discourse in this country, Family Coach?
I think it's important for them to be part of it. And I think there have been some unsavory comments and words and terms that have been used. And there has been bullying and they've been much more adversarial and less about the issues than it has been in the past. But it is our political system. And I think kids didn't just grow up understanding how elections work and politics. And I think it's important for them to hear about taxes and then for us to have a conversation about what our philosophy is about paying taxes and why does it matter and what does it pay for? And, you know, otherwise they just hear from other kids on the playground, because even in elementary school, they're talking about who their parents are voting for.
It'd be nice if taxes actually came up in these debates. So see, that's my big thing.
It did come up.
I had to explain to Emmett, I think you were there in the kitchen. I was trying to explain to him what Donald Trump was talking about with Bill Clinton. And I said, well, when Bill Clinton was president, he kind of, you know, wasn't faithful to his wife. And I tried to cut it kind of short. And he goes, go on. And I was like, yeah. So anyway, it was not, you know, blah, 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 blah. I just think it's become very awkward. And these things that.
But it doesn't have to be. Why can't we just say, you know, we had a president. We've had many presidents who've had affairs while they've been. Right, but I'm saying we can have the conversation with him to explain there have been presidents who have a public and a private persona, and the private persona can be, you know, somebody who cheats on their wives and, you know, does things that we wouldn't want in a president. But does that affect their ability to be president? I'm just saying that's a question that we can have and a debate we can have with our kids, a conversation.
I guess I really love the old Gerald Ford quote, a man I really admired. He said, disagree agreeably. I feel like we've lost that art in this country a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. Definitely. What do you got, Catherine?
Well, Todd Kennedy was a volunteer football head coach in Durham, Connecticut.
Home of?
I don't know.
I don't either. Just like maybe you know.
Oh. Home of Todd Kennedy.
Oh.
He had two sons that were on the team. I think the kids were like fourth through sixth graders. And he had an incident of bullying on the team. And so he had a meeting with the kids about bullying and how he wouldn't tolerate it. And then after the meeting, it was brought to his attention that there was another bullying incident with the same two kids, I guess. So he made the player who was doing the bullying run laps. And then I think it was like five or six laps. And then the coach commended the kid for doing the laps without complaining and left the field and felt good about it. Next day, he was suspended, and the day after that, he was fired from his volunteer coaching position. So my issue is that you fire the coach who was addressing the bullying, and you leave the bully on the team. What message does that send to the kids?
Are you asking me that question?
Yes.
I was thinking when you were reading this story, I don't mean to plug it, but I have a book about Brett Favre coming out in a couple of weeks. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah.
Great book.
You read it?
I did.
Thanks. So Brett Favre's dad, Irv Favre, was a coach when Brett was growing up in high school. And he used to hold an assembly at the beginning of every season. And he would say, these are your kids, but for the 2 hours they're on the field every day at practice, they're my kids. And I kind of like that. And that was accepted. That was kind of how it was. They're under my watch when they're here. And I think when you sign your kid up for youth sports and you send him off to be a part of a team, if the coach feels that a kid is not behaving properly or is being a distraction, he basically is in the role of a school teacher. And if he feels like a kid needs to be put to the side, or in this case, I feel like in this area, it's a reasonable thing to make a kid run laps. I think it's completely fair. This guy is a coach. That's what he's here to do. If your kid's bullying other kids, yeah, that's totally fine. I have no problem with it. You disagree?
No, I don't disagree, but I am actually kind of shocked by your position, because I think, yes, this coach was addressing bullying, and I have no problem with that. But your philosophy of, you know, you sign your kid up for youth sports and the coach is in charge of your kids for those 2 hours. Yes, I agree with that. But I think coaches do a lot of crazy things. They have kids, you know, doing two-a-days in very, very hot heat, throwing up and putting them back on the field. I think they have them doing maybe things that are some parents wouldn't agree with. And I'm not talking about addressing bullying, but I think your blanket statement that, you know, the coach is in charge of the kids and parents should just have a hands-off, you know, thought about it.
That's not really what I mean. But I think that was very well stated, I got to say. Mm-hmm. No, seriously. I just mean that, like, when you sign your kid up for youth sports, the coach is in charge. If you have a problem with the coach, you pull aside, you talk to the coach, you try to deal with it on a one-on-one situation. I think having this guy suspended for doing what seems like a very understandable, this isn't making kids run without water. This isn't making kids play until they throw up. This is taking a kid who is acting inappropriately, according to the coach, and saying, this isn't right. Go do a few laps. I think it's all within reason, the reasonable realm of youth sports in America.
Definitely. And first of all, just practicing, you do laps, you do suicides, you do exercises. So to do a few more for, you know, bad behavior, not listening, or, you know, bullying or whatever it may be, I have no problem with that. I did try to investigate this further to find out more. To me, there has to be something like, who was this kid? Because normally schools and, you know, teams are very supportive of anti-bullying. And it seems odd that either the coach did much more than that, which I think would be reported, or somehow this kid's parents were not too pleased with this and they're on the board or they know someone.
It's kind of funny. We've talked about a lot of things on these shows. This is our 10th episode, by the way.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you too. Mm-hmm. We've talked about a lot of issues on the show. We've definitely crossed over. And one thing we haven't talked about that much is, you know, there's a lot of talk in this country about how hard it is to be a police officer right now, that you're always being watched, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not getting into the political ramifications of that. It's also really hard to be a youth sports coach, because when you and I were growing up, it is true, for good or for bad, parents dropped you off at the field and that was it. You know what I mean? It really, Irv Favre was actually right. They were your kids for 2 hours. My mom never, and I probably played on 20 youth sports teams, never questioned a coach, never questioned a coach's method.
My mother wasn't even there to question anybody.
Exactly. It must be so impossibly hard. I mean, I've coached a couple of seasons, and I've been criticized by parents for really little stupid things. Why didn't you let my kid do that? Blah, 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 blah. It must be so hard with the level of parental involvement nowadays, and this feeling like you should be stepping on in those bounds whenever you feel it's appropriate or important or whatever. I don't know how anyone coaches anymore.
Well, I mean, that's why I've hesitated speaking to the coach about the positions he's putting Emmett in, because I do think this guy's a volunteer. He clearly cares about doing a good job and he cares about the kids. And I don't want to be that parent, but I do feel like at some point you do have to stick up for your kid. But I don't think we're going to have to with this one, to be honest.
We'll find out.
Yeah. I do think there must be more to this bullying coach firing story that we just don't know about.
Perhaps. So next up, we're going to do our little old news segment. But first, Catherine, how about a brief advertisement?
I'd like to talk to you about My Tower Garden by Juice Plus.
Never heard of it.
Yes. Well, the Tower Garden is a vertical aeroponic garden. It's all the joys of gardening without any of the hassle. It uses recycled water, which is great in California. It doesn't take up any room. It has a pleasant waterfall sound. You can grow lettuce and vegetables, and they grow faster than they do in the ground. If you want to learn more about the absolutely amazing Tower Garden, contact Lisa Blaisdell by checking out her Tower Garden website at Blaisdell, B-L-A-I-S-D-E-L-L .towergarden.com. And don't forget to mention the sports parent to receive 5 free seedlings with your offer, with your order of a Tower Garden. All right, so what do you have for old news?
I just want to say, when you read that ad every week, I want to do the Waterfalls rap from Waterfalls.
No, thank you.
Left eye. You sure
that's
I can
okay.
do it? I seen a rainbow?
Nope.
Okay.
Go on.
News, old. October 10th, 1990, the Galveston Daily News. Galveston, what state?
Texas.
Very nice. Okay. The parents of an emotionally disturbed Texas boy allegedly beaten by a school principal lost a Supreme Court appeal Tuesday. The court, over one dissenting vote, let stand a ruling that the child's constitutional rights were not violated. Okay. Tracy Fee was 12 and attending a class for emotionally troubled youngsters at Dickinson, Texas school where the incident occurred. The school principal, Joe Herndon, brutally beat the boy when he refused to submit to being paddled 3 times for misbehaving in class. Herndon punched Tracy on the jaw, held him down on the floor, hit him numerous times in the buttocks with a paddle. He also accused Herndon of grabbing Tracy by the neck, throwing him into a chair so that the child's head snapped back and hit the wall. Herndon and a teacher who was present said the principal paddled the boy 3 times on the buttocks, but did no more. The family sued, and they lost. My question for you, as it pertains to this, is it ever, can you find in your deep family codes deep depths, ever a situation where it is okay to paddle a kid?
No.
Never?
Never. I know that probably, I don't know, in Texas in 1990, maybe they had corporal punishment was allowed, or maybe it was a private school. I don't know what the details of that particular case are, but I've been asked this question many, many times by parents, and whenever there's, you know, an incident in the news about spanking or paddling or whatever it may be. And honestly, number one reason that you shouldn't paddle or spank is it doesn't work. It's not an effective way of curbing behavior. It just makes people go underground with their behavior. It doesn't actually stop.
So wait, my kid is into shoplifting. Okay, my kid's 10 and he likes stealing candy bars. I'm not a fan of paddling, obviously.
What makes you think that being hit would make you stop stealing? You're stealing for some other reason. You just get better at stealing so you don't get caught.
I guess, or maybe you're like, I don't want to get hit anymore, so I better stop stealing. No?
I don't think so. And I think studies have shown that's not really...
I haven't done any studies on it.
That's not really the case. But also, let's say you hit and you don't get the desired effect. So you hit harder and you don't get the desired effect. So you hit still harder. Well, there are laws about not leaving a mark and what's considered child abuse. And it's a fine line between discipline and child abuse. So parents and teachers have to be very careful about that.
It is interesting because I've written a lot of books about in the South, and there's definitely, and still is to a certain degree, not the same as it used to be, in the culture there, a sort of thing about it's okay to hit your kids. Not only that, it's okay for your neighbors
Absolutely.
To hit your kid, mm-hmm. which is warped beyond belief. I'm not a fan of that. Anyway, interesting
story. Yeah, well, like I said, I just don't think it's effective.
I will not be paddling my children anymore.
No, you will not.
Okay, fair enough. So what do we got now?
We have the 1-minute wrap-up debate. Today we are going to debate sushi versus Mexican.
I'm happy to say you go first today.
All right, do you have the...
Yeah, are you ready?
Yep.
So Catherine Perlman's a huge sushi fan. I am a sushi admirer. I'm a huge Mexican fan. You are...
But I just want to say, when I was growing up, my mother's brother went to Japan and nobody I knew had ate sushi. They never even heard of sushi. And he came home and he would bring us to the sushi restaurant and we started eating sushi in like the early 80s.
I don't like this. You're trying to convince some people to vote for you. And I don't really, I just make your
argument. I am not. I'm just saying I have been enjoying sushi since I was.
Okay, well, I just want to say real quick, when I was a little boy, my parents left me in Tijuana. I was adopted by a family in Mexico. They made me tacos, fed me, kept me alive.
You would speak Spanish better if that were
Hola,
the case.
¿Cómo está?
Yeah, bien.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, ready, set, go.
Okay, the thing about sushi is they use super fresh ingredients. Everything has to be very fresh and very high quality. It's an art form. People make amazing things out of sushi. It's simple, clean food, not processed at all. It's fun to eat, actually. Just bite-sized pieces, incredible creativity. You can have cooked or raw foods, and my personal favorites are the spicy tuna, eel, and the fan favorite California roll, which when I was a kid, I used to get 3 California handles. and eat that for dinner.
That was pretty good. Actually, that wasn't your best. I think I could beat that. You ready?
Okay.
Set, go. It's 1992. You're Jeff Perlman, Newark, Delaware, Russell Hall B. Maybe you had a little too much to drink. It's Friday night. You don't want the crappy pizza of Newark, Delaware. What do you go to? Mexican food. Nothing is better than soggy, slappy, crappy Mexican food. If you get supermarket sushi, it sucks every time. But a taco, a burrito, an enchilada, doesn't even matter if it's Taco Bell or if it's some great Mexican place. It always tastes good. The beans, it also clears you out. It's just the best any time of day. Sushi, if it's not good, it's not good.
Actually, I do not think Mexican is better than sushi at all. And I think you insulted many Mexican chefs by saying soggy, crappy. Even not great Mexican is better than not great sushi. That, like, great sushi is way better than great Mexican.
You go to like the A&P, you get sushi. It's not a good scene.
Yes, but like anyone on the side of the road making a taco is
exactly
way better than what you would get supermarket sushi.
Thanks for giving me that win.
No, you still don't get the win. Okay, then. Let us know who you think won this debate. Tweet us at The Family Coach or at Jeff Perlman. Use the hashtag TheSportsParent so we can see your comments. Find us on Facebook at Jeff Perlman. And Jeff Perlman also has a brand new author page on Facebook. Is that right?
That is true. It's Jeff Perlman Author. Mm-hmm. Do I have a book coming out, by the way?
You do.
What's it called?
Something about Brett Favre.
Oh, my God. Gunslinger.
Gunslinger. Exactly. I haven't heard you do 400 interviews yet. Give me a chance. And you can find me on Facebook at The Family Coach. We'll put the links and the information about the topics we discuss on the show on our website, thesportsparentpodcast.com. I'm a little bit behind in putting things up, but I'm catching up. Jeff's website is jeffperlman.com, and you can check out his amazing blog and take a look at The Quaz, which is Jeff's Q&A series.
And Catherine's website is thefamilycoach.com. Thank you so much for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to The Sports Parent on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. And if you liked our show, please, please go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and a review if you can. It's pretty easy to do. You search for iTunes on The Sports Parent, you click on the podcast, not the individual episode, and when it comes up, you should see details next to the logo. Next to the details, it should say reviews and rating. Click on that heading. Add a comment and just give us a 5-star rating if you feel comfortable. For every 5-star rating, Catherine will give you a pair of her shoes. Also, if you have topics you'd like us to discuss on the show, send an email to Catherine at catherinewithac@thefamilycoach.com. Audio production assistance from the wonderful Andrew Perella. Happy birthday, Andrew. Music by MC White Owl and Static Selecta. Until next week's episode of The Sports Parent, win or lose, take your kids for ice cream after the game.
So that went pretty well.